Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
When life brings the blah, add more Yabba Dabba Doo with some tasty fruity pebbles. Early morning meeting. Blah. Someone brought the pebbles? Yabba Dabba Doo. Run errands? Blah. Head to the store for pebbles. Yabba Dabba Doo. Fruity pebbles, less blah, more Yabba Dabba Doo. Pick up Pebbles cereal today. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/Spotify.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, Daisy.
I just didn't even give you a heads up. I was like, we're just going to flow. This is how we normally do it. So if you are a regular listener, you know I usually do these either by myself or I have Austin with me. But today I have my friend Daisy here for this episode because, Daisy, you are actually the one that brought this whole case to my attention. Now I'm down the rabbit hole, so you're forced to sit through this with me.
Well, I am, because you're like my idol. So I'm like, I'm telling you, anytime there's any kind of new crime, I'm like, I wonder if Kelly knows about this. I'm going to text her. And then when I did and you said you didn't, I was like, oh, here we go.
Well, and I appreciate you letting me know, except now I'm just in this whole rabbit hole because
I know
today we're talking about the disappearance of, and I chuckle at disappearance because now we don't even know what it
exactly is
really, but of Hanna Kobayashi.
Yes.
So, this is taken.
And the subsequent death of her father.
Oh my gosh.
I can't.
Right.
I mean, that's when it got real serious. And if
really
this,
serious.
If this ends up being where she just did this on her own, hey, maybe you should have thought this through.
Yeah. Not cool.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I'll admit when I first started learning about it and I posted this on TikTok because this has kind of gone viral on TikTok a little bit or just social media
right.
in general, but I didn't have a good feeling at the beginning and I thought, oh gosh, she probably got in with the wrong crowd.
Oh, for sure.
And disappeared. And then her dad died. And
yeah.
it was just like, what did he know? Did he
know
something? And then
just the way it evolved has been crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk today about the disappearance, like exactly when it started, which was November 8th of 2024, and then where it stands today. So we'll kind of go through the whole roller coaster. And if you aren't even aware of this case, I will fill you in and we'll talk about some of the theories too, because now I feel like gloves are off. You know, at first I was like, let's not speculate. Yeah. Now I'm like, well, no, now things are getting weird.
Right. Right.
So it started on November 8th of 2024. 30-year-old Hannah Kobayashi from Maui, Hawaii, vanished under mysterious circumstances during a trip to Los Angeles. So, of course, I've compiled everything there is to know about this case so far, and Daisy has some information, too, that she's going to offer. And if you want to keep up to date with this case, you can follow it on mamamystery.com. I've started kind of blogging some of the more popular true crime stories. And so if there are further updates, I'll update there as well. But Hannah is known for her creative and free-spirited personality. I don't know much about her childhood. I only know much about who she is kind of recently. But she was en route from Hawaii to New York City for a photography gig at a DJ's event. And there was a layover in LA. And these plane tickets were purchased by her ex-boyfriend before they broke up. So this man's name is it Amon or Amon?
I would think it would be Amon, but I've heard it a couple different ways, so I don't know. Let me ask you real quick, do you know, because this was something I was going to look up and I didn't, do you know if he is a U.S. citizen?
I don't know anything about this Amon person. He hasn't even spoken out.
Okay.
And I think it's because he didn't want to be dragged in as some, like a suspect or a person of interest or something.
One of the theories that I'll talk about later, I would like to know whether he was a citizen or not, because it kind of has to do with that. But I'll Google that. I'll do a goog.
Okay. I'll do a goog. So
you're going to regret this. I am a loose cannon, sister.
No,
I have never had one of these kind of microphones. I'm like Davy Jones on the Brady Bunch. Girl, look what you done to me. Do you
know? No.
I know, because you're 7 years old and I'm 107.
I used to watch the Brady Bunch.
Okay, well, if you used to watch the Brady Bunch, you would know the Davy Jones episode because he was an absolute dreamboat.
Okay, well, I'll have to go back and watch. That'll be my homework.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to where we left off. This is going to be a long episode.
I'm telling you, never been on a podcast. I'm shooting my shot, sister.
So the plane tickets were purchased by her ex-boyfriend, Amon. We'll say Amon for the source of, or for this
episode.
That's
what I would think.
But anyway, they ended up breaking up, but they still both decided to go on the trip anyway, since the tickets were apparently non-refundable. And then they planned to just go their separate ways once they arrived in New York, except Hannah didn't make it that far. He, however, did. He made the connecting flight. He landed in New York. So here's what we know so far, and I'm going to go through the timeline just as we learned it. And so the things that did happen on November 12th, we'll talk about at the end. So it's kind of going to jump, but I'm just going to keep it chronological.
Okay.
So Hannah was looking forward to this trip to New York, where she was going to attend a concert and then take some pictures for her photography portfolio. So she takes a lot of pictures. They're on her Instagram. Originally, she was going to take this trip with her boyfriend. They had spent thousands on the flights, the hotel, the concert tickets. But then they broke up before the trip and decided to still go just separately. So even on the flight from Maui to LA, they did not sit by each other. And then when they landed in LA, she got off the flight by herself. Amon wasn't pictured in any of the, you know, footage that we've seen. However, he did make it on the flight to New York. And then there is a photo of her handwritten notes about this trip on a legal pad. And so the only sheet I've seen covers like the first few days, but at the top of the pad, it says NYC 11/9 through 11/16. And then she kind of handwrote all of the plans that she had for each day. So November 9th, she planned to check into the hotel, arrive at 7:28 a.m. at JFK, settle in, ease into the Big Apple and the surrounding area. Then she wrote down some places to check out, like the Brooklyn Folk Festival from 12 to 10 p.m. in Brooklyn. Jeff Mills, who in parentheses she wrote pioneer of techno, at the Knockdown Center at Honey Dijon, at the Brooklyn Storehouse. I don't know who any of these people are. I'm assuming they're bands. But Her plans for the next day, she wrote AM, question mark, open flow, go off of a vibe, and bucket list items. So again, we see that she's kind of like a spiritual, like
right.
maybe kind of hippie-ish, but like just go with the flow, go with the vibe. I feel like that just kind of sticks out to me. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it matters in the whole scheme of all of this.
Was the name Alan on there anywhere?
I did not see the name Alan on page one, which is why I said I only saw page one because I've heard that there are other pages about these plans and a lot of them have to do with this Alan person.
Right.
But I have not seen those. But apparently
I haven't either. I'm going to look it up too because, I've heard them talk about the fact that there's something on there about photos with Alan.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have too, but they weren't anywhere on the first page, the one that's been circulating the most, I think.
Right.
So anyway, her plans for the next day were to go to Pat Thomas and Ebo Taylor at Webster Hall at 7 p.m., 11:11. She wanted to spend time with her auntie Jordan and then open flow based off our vibes, she wrote in parentheses. And then she also wrote bucket list dreams become a reality. 11:12, November 12th, she wrote PM Taicho, which I think is the show that she was going to go take pictures at.
Right.
At the Brooklyn Steel for 7 p.m. And then she wrote that she wanted to reach out to see if she could get some kind of pass. And then 11:13 is the last day that's on this page. And it's surrounded in a heart. And it says gig day, J.W. Francis photography gig at 7 p.m. Beyond that, so like the trip was supposed to go until the 16th, but I just don't have any information for those days.
But there were no plans written on there for California, right? Mm-mm. For LA. Okay.
No. So Hannah seemed to have plans in place that she was very excited about. So that just added to the mystery of where she is now and if she voluntarily chose to not complete her trip to NYC. But obviously there's more on that to come. So now that we know what her plans were according to those who knew her, here is what actually happened. On Friday, November 8th, Hannah flew from Maui to LA with a connecting flight to New York City. She was traveling on the same itinerary as her ex-boyfriend, and they successfully landed and were going to board the plane for New York by 11 p.m. Cameras at LAX captured Hannah leaving the plane wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, a colorful tie-dyed legging outfit, but she never made it to her connecting flight to New York, and she also got off the plane without a bag, no carry-on. Mm-hmm. Now, the layover was only 42 minutes, so it's understandable to assume that she missed it by accident. I mean, LAX is a humongous airport. However, in other camera footage, she is seen carrying or rolling a carry-on bag. And so from what I've heard or seen, read, whatever, she had the bag sent back to her
from New York to LA. So she went to the baggage claim or baggage office there in LAX and asked them to get the bag back to her instead.
Which is interesting because that just tells me that maybe she didn't plan on going to New York then. Because if she was going to get a connecting flight, then I'll just meet my bag when it gets there. But maybe she needed some things out of that bag and was like, I just need to take it with me.
Well, and I used to work for the airlines. I've had 150 jobs in my lifetime. But if she was on the manifest for that connecting flight, they're not just going to take off without her. I mean, yes, they do leave people, but usually when you've left people, it's because you know that that whole connecting flight is not getting in at a time at the same time. It's been delayed. You've made the decision to go ahead and push off without them. Mm-hmm. But, you've been on planes before, I'm sure, where it's like they'll be calling you here in the airport. They're calling for that missing person, that many times or whatever. It's not like they're just like, okay, whoever's here, not here, going to go. Yeah. I mean, yes, that happens. But if it's somebody with no explanation and they're still on the manifest and they have checked in, which she had because you check in at the very first for your connecting flight as well. If she's checked into that, they're going to look into the situation on why she's not going on. Mm-hmm. And her boyfriend would hear it too, because her ex-boyfriend, if he's sitting on the aircraft, you know, those things are happening. I don't know if I know that because I worked there or because I've just, noticed, but I mean, anybody can tell that they're waiting for one person, they're waiting for those people and they're going to make sure that they're not running to come find their seat. And he would know that she was not on it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, what's funny, I've missed two flights in my lifetime. One of them was because of Austin, and we'll just leave it at that.
Astonishing, really.
And the other was because my connecting flight was in a city in a different time zone. And so when I landed, I didn't change the time on my watch and I didn't realize there was a time change. And so I missed my connecting flight, but I'd never heard them call my name.
Yeah.
Not to say they didn't. Right. I just was not aware. Right, I might have had AirPods in or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, that being said, I also have experience with standby flights because what ends up happening over the course of the next couple of days with Hannah, that's where I also have a lot of questions.
Right. You don't leave the airport.
You don't leave the
You're
airport.
You're waiting. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, none of this really makes a lot of sense. So anyway, we left off with her carrying that roll-on bag and the bag appeared to have a tag on it, like it had been checked at some point. But like I said, she was not disembarking with that bag. So it's safe to assume she did ask them to return it to her at LAX. I just think it's kind of weird, but Saturday, November 9th would have been the following day. And at this point, Hannah is now on standby, hoping to catch a seat on another flight to New York. And if you've ever been on standby, here is how it works. Well, I'll let you, since you've worked in airports, you can talk about standby.
Well, you know what, though? Let me go back because I was just thinking about it. If she wasn't going on, that's another thing. If she checked that bag, a bag can't fly on an aircraft without the person. So if she had checked her bags all the way through, you know, they're going to take those bags off of the flight that she came in from Maui. They're going to put those on your flight, you know, that same, and they're going to go with you. If there's somebody who's checked, who's on the manifest and checked onto that flight and ends up not going, they have to get on and pull their bags off. So they would have had to pull her bag anyway if she had checked that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they couldn't miss it or something, but that is the rule. You have to get it off because you can't, I mean, because that would be a way to, you know,
dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. So if she has checked bags and there's no, and she doesn't show up on the flight, they have to get her bag off.
That's interesting. So I didn't realize that, but it makes sense because there's always that amount of time when you're sitting in there and they're like checking everything and it seems like forever before you actually roll off. And maybe that's kind of what they're doing.
Right.
But
yeah, that's another reason why they want to find the people because they don't want to have to tell Ramp they got to pull the bags, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they
did that. I just thought about that.
Because, I mean, 42 minutes is not a long time.
Right.
And
yeah,
so when I also think about like, the time crunch and trying to figure out where she is and then also trying to go in and find her bag. Like,
right.
How do these flights ever leave on time?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, they know it's quick. They know that that's where they're coming from. There was probably quite a few people coming from that flight that are going on to that connecting flight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like just one or two people.
Yeah.
I would think.
That is interesting. So yeah, when you're on standby, you miss a flight, you can stand by for a new flight, usually without having to pay extra, but you do have to stay at the terminal of the flight that you're hoping to get on because if they don't announce that you have a spot on that, or they usually don't announce that you have a spot until right when they're about to close the doors.
Right.
So my experience with that was I was on a standby list and it really is kind of like you just pray to God, whoever.
For sure.
That some people don't show up.
Yeah, if it's not a full flight and then, Yeah.
Or
then you've got like other like deadhead crews that are wanting to just jump, you know, well, not jump seat because I guess a civilian couldn't sit in a jump seat, but, you know, that are waiting to see if they can get on. People that work for the airlines, that's what you do. I mean, that's what they do to fly anywhere is standby, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Man, I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely don't leave the terminal, let alone the airport, if you're waiting on standby.
For sure. Yeah.
Because obviously you're risking losing that
she
seat.
She was ready to go out in LA and do whatever she was doing because I don't think she was trying very hard to get on another flight.
I don't think so either. Yeah, because she was seen between noon and 3 p.m. that day at the Tashin bookstore at the Grove, which is a shopping center in L.A., which is 43 minutes away from the airport, not considering any kind of L.A. traffic, which I've heard is horrendous. So, yeah, that's not something you would do if you're hoping to catch a flight to New York from L.A. Like, you would assume, too, that those are pretty, like, hard flights to just hop on to.
For sure.
So anyway, while she was at this bookstore, though, an employee did say that Hannah was charging her phone and that she seemed pretty normal. She didn't seem like she was in distress or under any kind of influence. And she was talking to the people at the bookstore, signing up for some subscription. And then at one point at 2:43 p.m., she sent a selfie from within the bookstore to her aunt. And so, again, like not a lot of alarm bells going off about.
Is that Aunt Lori that they talk about?
So it doesn't specify if it was the Aunt Lori or the aunt
that is in New York.
Yeah. Right. Now, also on the 9th, Hannah made two Venmo payments to unknown individuals. First was at 6:25 p.m. to a Veronica Almendarez, anyway, with a bow and arrow emoji in the description. Then at 7:19 p.m., Hannah sent a payment to Jonathan Taylor with the note reading under it.
Okay.
Now, I was able to find Jonathan Taylor's username on socials, which is RolandWheels88, wheels with a Z, and then the E's in wheel are threes. Anyway, it's a unique screen name. Mm-hmm. And he does have a TikTok page. Now, it seems like a bunch of other internet sleuths found him too, because he actually made a TikTok about Hannah, and he also turned off his comments. So I'm going to play for you the audio that is from that TikTok.
All right, everyone. Here's the scoop. I don't know this Hannah chick, and she came to this dude from South Africa asking for a reading. And the readings, this guy told me that he's a psychic, and she came to him. The only connection is between me and her. I gave my Venmo to this guy, and he gave it to him to send for payment. That's it. So if you would please stop asking me where she is, or... and also stop asking me all these questions. It's really getting ridiculous. Someone posted that y'all are gonna mess this up, mess this case up. You're absolutely right, it will. So please, stop.
Thanks for clearing that up. I know less now than I did before I listened to that clip.
I'm sorry.
What did he say?
First of all, I want to start by saying that Jonathan is, he appears to be a quadriplegic. He's in a, mm-hmm. which is why his thing
is rolling wheels. Right.
And so I don't know if he had a TBI at some point. There's other videos where it shows a big scar on the back of mm-hmm. his head. So I think I'm assuming he was maybe in a vehicle, like some sort of accident. Mm-hmm. And that maybe he suffered a TBI. So he does say she came to this dude from South Africa asking for a reading. This guy told me he's a psychic and she came to him. Only connection is I gave my Venmo to this guy and he gave it to her for payment. That's it. So here's my speculation, because I've thought about this and I'm like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. But then I thought, well, if there was a guy from South Africa doing readings, but he didn't have a Venmo account right. and Hannah didn't have cash, then maybe Jonathan had cash and was able to pay the psychic the cash
okay.
if she gave Jonathan the Venmo. So like a little
where were they?
Probably just walking around, like,
okay.
I'm just assuming this was outside okay. at the Grove or something, and okay. they're just kind of walking. I'm gonna do
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Cause there, I mean, I've never been to LA, but mm-hmm. I mean, I am assuming they're in an area like the Grove is an outdoor shopping center.
So okay. There's probably so he a might lot be people. Outside doing readings. Maybe. Hey, I can pay you. I've got cash. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe Jonathan just happened to be
right.
rolling by. But anyway, regardless, after the reading and Venmo transactions, she went back to LAX and appeared to continue waiting on a standby flight. And then it also appears that she stayed the night at LAX. So she did end up going back to the airport. I just don't know why. But Sunday, November 10th, this whole thing started on Friday. So this is over the course of the weekend. Sunday, November 10th, the next day, Hannah went back to the Grove Shopping Center again. She attended the LeBron 22 trial event at the Nike store in the Grove. And then she posted a photo from the event on Instagram. And this picture is her most recent post on Instagram. And the caption is... the eye that's in a speech bubble. And I had never seen this emoji. And listen, I'm like, you know, spiraling a little bit on this detail. Like it might have absolutely nothing to do with anything, but right. we're just going to talk about it. So this eye in a speech bubble is part of the I Am a Witness anti-bullying campaign. And it's an emoji that's it's meant to encourage awareness and action to call out bullying. Not saying that's why she used it, but it's just interesting okay. nonetheless. And then also... Also attached to the post was the song A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. I don't know if that means anything, but it just, it, given the circumstances, right, we kind of have to wonder. Now, later that day, she was seen in a YouTube video taken at the event. And in this video, a man was just vlogging and Hannah happened to walk in front of his camera. And she can be seen wearing the same black hoodie and black headphones as she did 2 days prior at LAX. So with that information, I'm like, okay, is she even sleeping? She isn't probably showering.
No.
Like, I think about her mental state, right, at this point, you know? So Monday, November 11th, on this day, we don't know much about the first part of the day, but we do know that that evening, Hannah sent a text to her aunt in New York saying, "Hi, loves, I just finished a very intense spiritual awakening. I'm charging my phone and heading back to the airport to get to NYC. I might need some help getting there. It's a long story. I'll keep you posted. I think I still have my hotel room." I think she's referring to her hotel in NYC since she did not have a hotel in LA.
Okay, because when I read... Okay, that makes sense. Because I read that and I thought she meant, "I think I still have my hotel room in LA," so that she had gotten a hotel room there and then... Okay.
I thought that too.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And then she also apologizes for the craziness and says that she was, quote, intercepted. And then Hannah also texted her mother explaining that she had not yet reached New York. Then she sent alarming texts to a friend claiming, quote, "Deep hackers wiped my identity, stole all of my funds, and have had me on a mind fuck since Friday. I got tricked pretty much into giving away all my funds for someone that I thought I loved." So at the time, we're all just like, what? What is going on? And as we're receiving this information, not knowing the things that come later, it's kind of confusing. But now it eventually all does make a little more sense.
Well, if you're a mom or sister, though, and you get a text like that from your daughter or sister, I'm calling immediately. I'm like, absolutely not. I don't know what this means. Answer the phone right now. I'm calling over and over and over. You know, I would think that there would be some kind of text that would be like, "I can't answer right now." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's no explanation. So to me, that means they didn't call. I'm not going to accept that.
Yeah.
Would you?
No, I would be calling too.
And no, I don't even know what that means.
Right. And they might have tried calling and she just wasn't answering.
Just wasn't answering and not even answering back. But yeah, then I would feel like if I called and called and called and they didn't say, "Hey, the reason is I'm on this and I can't hear you," or there's, you know, mm-hmm, I can't pick up, but I don't, yeah.
It's weird.
Of course, I mean, I guess they are worried. That's probably one of the reasons why they're worried. But yeah, I'm not just going to take texts like that and not understand it.
Yeah. And then just be like, "Well, I don't get it, but I'm going to move on."
Okay. That was weird. No.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Polestar. There's only one true way to experience the all-electric luxury SUV Polestar 3, and that's to take a test drive. It can go from 0 to 60 in as little as 4.8 seconds with the dynamic handling of a sports car. But to truly understand how it commands the road, you need to be behind the wheel. Up to 350 miles of range, the 3D surround sound system by Bowers & Wilkins, it's all something you have to experience to believe. So book your test drive for Polestar 3 today at Polestar.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner, however you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. Come and be a winner. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
So additional messages to friends and family described her fear and referenced a spiritual awakening and guidance to the redwoods, which worried her loved ones as uncharacteristic behavior. And she says, "I can't go to the police." And then the person that she's texting says, "Explain it to me so I can try to be of help to you." And then in another thread, and I'm not sure who this conversation is with, because all it shows is the screenshot and all you see at the top is, of course, Hannah's name. But it shows her saying, I have stuff of value there. And the friend says, you can go to the police, to the DMV. There are resources. And then Hannah says, I just need to rest and I'll think better. And then whoever she's texting says, yeah, I'm really confused. Hannah responds, but it's very complicated. The texter says, did you get catfished? Hannah says, Matrix underworld shit, girl. This is way beyond me. Texter says, did you get catfished by some dude you were talking to on the internet? Hannah says, no, we met. I can't explain all of it. Just please be open with this, please. Texter says, if you can't explain it, then question marks. And then the screenshot cuts off. So I don't know what's said after that, if anything. Now, friends of hers, including Ariana Ursua, noted that the tone of the messages were unusual for Hannah, who typically used vibrant emojis and a specific writing style. And then in another screenshot of a conversation with Hannah, she tells her friend, quote, I might go to a homeless shelter. And this person says, you should go back to Maui. Hannah says, I literally can't, love, which is in tone with her typical style.
Right.
And the texter says, you shouldn't be spending money to continue traveling. You have a home and you need to get back to it. Yes, you can. Where's your ID? Hannah says, I have it and my passport. Texter says, go buy a plane ticket to Maui. Hannah says, it's a really long story, hun. And then the texter says, I can't help it. I can't help if I don't know what's going on. If you have an ID, you can buy a ticket. Go to the counter at Hawaiian Airlines. And then there's an unanswered voice call immediately after that last message. And I'm almost certain that the call actually came from Hannah. And I only say that because it appears that it's done through Facebook Messenger. And if you make a phone call, it'll say like phone call attempted or something like that. But if you receive a phone call and miss it, it'll say there's an unanswered voice call. And so at the bottom of that screenshot, it says unanswered voice call.
Okay.
But it just doesn't say who it's from. I'm assuming it's from Hannah because right. It says unanswered voice call. But that might just be me assuming. So I don't know. But I do want to note that Hannah's sister, Sydney, has said that these texts don't seem like they're coming from Hannah, especially when Hannah says hun, because she's more likely to use words like loves or babes when she's talking to someone that she loves, but never hun.
Yeah.
So that struck Sydney as odd. Also, in another text, she told someone that she had a little money left and, quote, I want to just get a bus or whatever straight to the Redwoods. Gonna look for work, but I haven't slept well for days. Please keep this to yourself for now and be discreet. I'm at LAX. But the Redwoods, we know, are north.
Yeah, not anywhere.
South.
Near.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no doctor, but I'm, you know, I don't.
I'm pretty sure
right.
They're not in that direction that she ended up. So now we're still on Monday the 11th. She's been in LA since Friday. At 4 p.m. that day, Hannah's phone pinged for the last time at LAX before it did go dark. And at 5 p.m., Hannah was seen on cameras talking to a ticketing agent at LAX. So you would assume by that footage that she's still trying to get a flight to New York or maybe back to Maui or something.
When she was seen talking to a ticketing agent, did she have her bag then?
I believe so.
Okay.
Now, hours later, just after 9 p.m., Hannah was seen boarding the LAX Metro C line at Aviation Century Station, which is the metro station located right outside of the airport. And this train was heading east, and then Hannah transferred trains at the Rosa Park station so that she could travel north into LA on the A line. Surveillance cameras recorded Hannah at a downtown LA metro station near Crypto.com Arena, accompanied by an unidentified individual, and her family observed that she appeared to be in poor condition. I don't know what that means.
And have they said who this unidentified individual is? I don't think so,
no.
Have they? Yeah.
They have not.
What?
So lastly, a witness who says they rode the metro with Hannah shared the following post, and then Hannah's sister Sydney shared it. So I believe this is a accurate post, but it says, hello, I remember seeing Hannah alongside a male, African-American male. Hannah had a suitcase with her. The male with her offered my son and I his seat when we got onto the C line station at the Lenox Hawthorne entrance. We were coming back from the LA Rams game. I then began speaking to the male about the football game and about the C line access to the game shuttle. During our conversation, Hannah did mention something about transportation, where she's from. I asked her where she's from, and she quietly said she was from Maui. She was wearing her hair down, she had glasses on, and a dark-colored sweater. When they got closer to their exit, the male did tell Hannah that they were going to be getting off on Avalon exit. That is where they both got off, and only the man said goodbye. He also told me, thank you for the information about transportation history we discussed. And I just said, no problem. Make sure you look it up. I had shared that the first person that was ever fatally struck by the Metro when it first opened was the mother to my aunt's husband. We also discussed information about the Metro and 105 freeway. Hannah didn't really speak much. She seemed really tired and out of it and disassociated, lost even. They didn't seem to know each other well. I am almost 100% sure this was her, end quote. So once we found that out, then we kind of started assuming that whoever this person is that was with her might be taking advantage of her. Right. They could have given her something that made her appear out of it. But at the same time, if she's been sleeping in an airport since Friday and hasn't bathed, I would expect her to be in poor condition too. She hasn't been sleeping. So I don't know. I mean, all you can really do is assume.
Right.
So the last time Hannah was spotted on surveillance that we know of, not including what the police might be protecting during their investigation, was at 10:03 p.m. on Monday the 11th. She was seen about 11 miles northeast of the airport in downtown L.A. in the vicinity of the Pico Metro station. After Hannah's phone stopped working, died, whatever the case may be, her family became very concerned, naturally. Her dad, Ryan, flew to L.A. to assist in the search for Hannah. Multiple family members, friends, and volunteers scoured the area and braving horrific areas like Skid Row, which, if you don't know, Skid Row is a neighborhood in LA. It is the largest homeless camp and most dangerous neighborhood in America, with 10,000 plus homeless people within like six blocks. And if you can imagine searching these streets that are lined with trash and drugs, needles on the street, fires, just random fires, and dangerous people who are strung out on drugs, and you're in search of your daughter, it could certainly take a toll on somebody.
Everything I know about Skid Row, I know from Little Shop of Horrors. So, I mean.
So very accurate information.
Right, exactly. Three singing women. Seymour sweeping.
There's probably still people singing, just
absolutely.
We just don't know. So on November 15th, the LAPD released a missing person poster for Hannah. She was described as being 5'10, 140 pounds, with hazel eyes, dark brown hair, freckles, glasses, and two distinct tattoos, a heart with a knife on her right forearm and a passage on her back left shoulder. Then on November 24th, after 13 days of searching tirelessly for his daughter, Hannah's father, Ryan Kobayashi, tragically took his own life near LAX by jumping from the upper level of a parking garage sometime around 4 a.m. The LA County Medical Examiner's Office confirmed his death as a suicide, and the family released a statement describing Ryan's heartbreak and relentless dedication to finding Hannah. November 26th, during a Board of Police Commissioners meeting, LAPD Chief Jim McDonnell revealed new insights, and investigators determined that Hannah intentionally missed her flight to New York and maintained contact with her family while being active on Instagram for several days after arriving in LA. On November 30th, Hannah's family made the following post to Facebook. It says, quote, "We are doing everything in our power to locate Hannah. Based on information, surveillance footage reviewed, and information shared with us, these are the facts known to my mother and I. It does not appear that Hannah intentionally missed her flight. My mother and I were unaware about the alleged findings presented at the Los Angeles Police Commission meeting until multiple videos of the meeting were sent to us by multiple citizens. These alleged findings have yet to be relayed to my mother and I directly from the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department or any detective involved in Hannah's case. My mother and I would later learn that the police commission is a five-member committee made up of five civilians, not law enforcement, who are not directly involved in Hannah's missing persons case. Specific facts contained in that report were inaccurate, such as Hannah's age. Hannah is 30, not 23. Also, Hannah was reported missing to law enforcement on November 11th, not November 13th, as stated by the chief of LAPD. The lack of communication surrounding some important details has left us feeling excluded from potentially crucial developments. However, we do remain hopeful and optimistic that the LAPD is doing everything in their power to assist us in locating Hannah. We are devastated by Hannah's disappearance and now my father Ryan's passing. It is completely out of character for Hannah to simply disappear without a trace. We remain deeply concerned about Hannah's safety, her well-being, and her current state of mind. Hannah, if you see this, know that we are not going to give up or stop searching until we find you. We know that this is something you would never do on your own accord unless you felt some type of threat or you were unwell. We know how much you love all of us, and we love you deeply. While we continue to search for Hannah widely, we will be focusing on the Southern California area, specifically all regions of LA, Long Beach, and all regions of San Diego. We extend our deepest gratitude to everyone who continues to hold our family in their prayers and to those positively contributing to our search efforts. And then finally, on Monday, December 2nd, LA police said that they had determined, based on surveillance footage, that Hannah decided on her own accord to cross the border into Mexico back on November 12th, the day her phone stopped pinging at LAX and after she stopped communicating with her family. Police Chief Jim McDonald said that Hannah was alone with her luggage and appeared unharmed when she went to Mexico, and that there was no evidence that she was being trafficked or is the victim of foul play. Their investigation also determined that Hannah had, in the past, expressed a desire to step away from modern connectivity.
But they did just find that out, right? They're not saying we found out right after November 12th that she had crossed into the border. They're just saying they now found out that she crossed into the border. Because if not, they're culpable for her father's suicide.
I mean,
if they had information like that, which surely they didn't. They must have just found that out, you know, as far as... But how do you... That's like all those workings. It's like, how did they know to go look at footage of people crossing the border?
Well,
you know,
because their investigation also learned that on November 12th at around 6:30 a.m., Hannah was seen at the Greyhound terminal at Union Station purchasing a ticket to the San Ysidro port of entry. And from there, she walked into Mexico with her luggage. So when did the family know about this? Because there have been posts where they said that they were going to start looking in all these other areas and that the area of like Tijuana and the border was mentioned. So like,
well,
did
her
they
dad
know?
Didn't know anything about that then. Her mom and dad were divorced, I think, right?
I believe so.
And it said that she was estranged from her dad, which could mean a lot of things. I mean, you could say that I was estranged from my dad because I didn't grow up with him, but yet we had a great relationship. So, you know, I mean.
Right. Like, what are the details?
Yeah.
Because then people are speculating like, oh, what did he know? Or
right.
Did he do something
but
to
not
Hannah?
Too much, though. Not as much as you would think. You know, I mean, because I kind of looked for that, too. And there's not a bunch of people, you know, blaming, oh, he had something to do with it or whatever. I don't know. They just kind of let that lie. Whatever the footage is of him jumping must look very, very intentional and not be that he was pushed or that he, but it had to have just been just a mental breakdown, not planned. Oh my goodness. I'm at my wit's end. Where is my daughter? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if he could have thought about it, he wouldn't have, you know, which is with a lot of suicide or sewer slide cancellation, unalive, whatever those PC words are that I need to use now.
I have to say unalive on TikTok all the time. And it always makes it just, irks me because I'm like, can we just use the real words? Right. We all know what they mean.
I know.
We all mean the same thing.
Well, apparently you can't use the word homeless anymore. You have to use people without.
Unhoused.
I can't. No, I cannot. I will not.
It's a lot to remember.
I do not. But yeah, I mean, that is like, to me, so ridiculously tragic. But then that also makes me think, if she knows any of this right now, the minute that happened, I mean, have they had his funeral? Have they had, I mean, I would be like, oh my gosh. Okay. Time out. Truce. Here I am. Sorry. There's where I was.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and ever since then, there's been even more coming out with, do you follow Stephen Fish? I think is his name.
Yes. Fisher.
Yeah. SF Investigates on X. So he's he's like a independent private investigator, I think, and he's been kind of following this case. And he's kind of pissed with the family because he feels like they knew more information than they let on, and they were allowing people to look in places that they knew she wouldn't be, and they kept the GoFundMe open, which originally was to help find Hannah, but then it was also, hey, can you help with Ryan's funeral? And so there's a lot about that, too, that's been...
Well, now people, I actually just heard this on my drive over here, people are sending her money that think that now that she did this on her own accord and is just trying to escape and, you know, everything, they're sending her money on her, I don't know if it's her Snap.
Her Venmo, maybe?
They didn't say Venmo. They said something else, and it wasn't Cash App or Venmo, but they're sending her money now saying, telling her places to go in Mexico, go visit this and this, go visit that.
Have a cerveza on me. Stop.
Yeah. Here's some money for this. And so they're giving her money still. And I'm like, what?
This is getting so crazy. Yeah. Well, and then all these developments came out about a secret marriage. And I'm going to let you take the reins on this because I don't know as much. I really wanted to just let you tell me about this.
Okay.
Because it's crazy, but I've been seeing these posts.
Right. So originally I looked into the twin flames thing, cult, whatever, found really nothing on that. She followed some twin flames type accounts or whatever, cult type accounts, but nothing like that was substantiated. But everybody is saying now, or not everybody, but there's rumors now that she and the ex-boyfriend were to get like in cahoots on a green card marriage scam type thing,
mm-hmm.
where that's why I asked you about the name Alan, because she was supposed to marry this Alan for his green card. And then Alan had a girlfriend, Mariana, who was also on the flight that perhaps the ex was supposed to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of them were on that first flight. Now, I don't know if Alan and Mariana, I would need to look at that, if Alan and Mariana went on to
New York.
But so as if that they were in some kind of scam getting green cards for, you know what I mean? Green card marriages type things. A lot of people are talking about it.
And there's not really like a lot you can do if that is the case. Like if you can point out that it's a scam, it's really hard to prosecute that apparently because it happens very often and it's not really an uncommon thing. And it's probably something hard to prove too.
Well, but that would also be a reason why she had said to her friend, which even though her sister said it didn't sound like her because she said love or hun, but when she said, I can't go to police. I mean, mm-hmm. you obviously can't go to police if you're involved in a, you know, green card marriage scam mm-hmm. kind of thing. But there's reports that her parents knew about it, that her mom, before she, whenever they first started looking at it, they said that Hannah's family had known the entire time about the green card marriage scheme and about her plans to get out of LA, which explains why they were so adamant about not hiring a PI, because the PI would have found her before she left the country. Her mom supposedly found documents documenting fake marriages, green card, you know, kind of things. And, you know, I mean,
that's crazy because it makes sense though.
Right.
And that person I was just talking about, SF Investigates, Steve Fisher, he's been following this case very closely. He made a post and I'm going to read it to you. It says, Hannah Kobayashi is married, as is her ex-boyfriend. Here's why I'm disclosing this information. Hannah's family and now legal counsel, because they've obtained a lawyer, has repeatedly criticized the LAPD, claiming they are dissatisfied with the investigation into her situation. Time and time again, they have spoken about an African-American man who was allegedly controlling and drugging Hannah, clearly implying that he was involved. However, as of November 16th, the family is fully aware that both Hannah and her ex-boyfriend are involved in green card marriages for profit. They even suspected that the ex-boyfriend is responsible for scamming Hannah out of her money and contributing to her behavior. Despite this, the family, specifically her sister, aunt, and father, continued to publicly emphasize how cooperative the ex-boyfriend has been and create fear of an African-American male seen with Hannah, which they wouldn't provide proof of the surveillance image. It is likely that the LAPD is already aware of this green card scheme and has determined that it is not a priority. If green cards have not been issued, there is no crime. Even if they had been issued, this is a relatively common crime and likely wouldn't be prosecuted. The real issue is that the family has misrepresented the situation while utilizing public resources, private donations, and public pleas for help. They have not been honest about the circumstances, even though they have been aware of them all along. I have repeatedly stated that this should be handled privately with the involvement of an investigator and a medical professional to evaluate Hannah. Instead, today they announced that they are seeking additional funds to expand the investigation and search into Mexico. This is unnecessary and deceptive. They need to stop blaming the LAPD for supposedly failing in their duties, stop asking for public donations and resources, and stop misrepresenting this as a public crisis. I reluctantly felt compelled to release this information due to their continued public pleas for donations, even though I did not want to do so. I hope that no further details will need to be shared. Those with insider knowledge are aware of where Hannah likely is. I hope the U.S. consulate will check on her welfare, after which this case should be closed.
So as far as her mom knowing anything about it, this says a Los Angeles magazine report published Wednesday said Hannah may have been involved in a green card marriage as part of an immigration scam for money prior to disappearing. The report said Kobayashi may have been scammed out of proceeds in the purported scheme involving her marrying an Argentinian man. The source said that the possible scam was discovered by Kobayashi's mother, who found immigration documents in her daughter's Hawaii home that listed an immigration attorney.
Interesting. And I have seen pictures of her on a beach where it does appear like she just got married and she's wearing the white dress. She's holding a bouquet of flowers. She's wearing a lei. She's next to a guy that's also standing in white. I mean, it looks like a ceremony, but I wonder who the guy is. I don't know. So this case is just, there's been so many twists and turns that it has blown my mind that right. I don't think any of them expected it to become this big
no.
and blow up in their face like this. But it certainly has.
Right, right. I feel like they need to talk to the ex-boyfriend. I mean, yeah. especially if he was involved, you know, if it does end up being some kind of green card scam, somebody needs to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like they have an idea of where she probably is. And yeah. I can't imagine that she's going to stay gone for that long,
right.
like forever. You know, she's got to at some point reconnect with her family.
Yeah. Well, I also heard that her family has not seen the footage of her walking into Mexico. Like the police have not released that, which, like I said, to me, there's so many things in cases where I'm like, I don't know how that family didn't like, you know, jump over the desk of whoever they're talking to there at the police station and be like, no, I want to see it right now. I want to, you know, so they haven't even imagined knowing that if they really do think she's, you know, gone and they're worried and there is actual footage of her walking over on her own accord over into Mexico and you know, you don't even get to see it. You just have to believe that it's there. I want to see it. I want to go. Yes, that's my daughter. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's my sister.
Yeah. And you yes, know? She looks okay. Or yes, she looks
right.
like she's struggling.
Yeah.
Like this
the
is not
that know
a
are the
sane
best.
Person. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you would think for sure that the police would at least let them view it.
Maybe right.
if they didn't get
exactly.
to keep it
Exactly. Does
it
this
them,
look like her? Yeah. I mean, how are the police the ones that are like, yeah, we know for sure that's her.
Right.
Who better than to know than her family?
Right. Right. And I'm sure they tracked her and did all the things, but like, you don't know her personal, like
right.
her mannerisms
yes.
and the way that she carries herself.
Exactly.
And if she looks well or not.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I wonder how this case will evolve. I hope she comes back, but like, I don't know. I mean, how can you be that disconnected from the world? Like your own family
no,
is one
I
thing,
know.
But also the world is kind of talking about this.
Yes, and then people are saying, well,
scale.
She doesn't have her phone. Oh, okay, well, there's lots of other media sources besides your phone.
Yeah, and you would think
you
at
know.
Some point someone's going to run into her and be like, hey.
Right.
Do you know this is going on?
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's you in danger, girl. You
yeah.
need to know. You know, people need to know where you are.
Yeah.
And her dad, that's one of the worst parts of all
oh,
of it.
I know.
That
now,
poor guy.
Yeah, that part is very heartbreaking. So since all of this came out, the police did say that she is now listed or declared as a voluntary missing person. And her mom, Brandy, and sister, Sydney, responded to reports that she may have gotten secretly married, saying, quote, we want to stress that the family has not publicly announced any information regarding an alleged marriage because we did not have the facts or the necessary documents to verify the legitimacy of this information. How hard would it be to get that, though?
I know.
I mean, really.
Right.
The family's attorney said in a statement on their behalf on X, and this was on December 4th, it says, quote, the family has not confirmed the authenticity of the images or the accuracy of the information provided about a possible secret marriage. This is one of many leads we are actively investigating with the help of our attorney, Did I say internee?
I believe you did.
I meant to say attorney and investigative team. End quote. All right. So Hannah's family continues to search for answers and for Hannah. If you see Hannah or have any information, you can contact 911, of course, or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477 immediately, or the RAD movement, which is R-A-D movement, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the search and rescue efforts that have assisted in the search for Hannah and multiple other people. It's like a big organization, mm-hmm. but they have been very active in this search. So
don't contact the Wheels of Fire, Hell on Wheels guy, because he doesn't want anything else to do with this.
Definitely leave him alone. Please leave him alone. He's stressed, understandably. Don't do that.
I got through this whole thing without one single bad word, cuss word, even though I listen, so I know that they're allowed.
We do? So you want to just let her rip?
No, because my Say precious it. Little Mexican mother is going to be listening. And Aww. So she will be like, you know, yeah, it was fine, but why did you have to add those cochinadas?
What does that mean?
Bad words.
Oh, cochinadas.
You know, yeah.
I love that.
So much cochinada, Stacey.
Well, muchas gracias for being here today.
Absolutely. Checking I really this appreciate off my it. Bucket list.
Yeah, I'm going to have this you back because awesome. That was nice. It was a nice change up.
Next
I love
time
Austin.
We'll just chat. Me too. Well, yeah. I will say that I was very nervous. And then yesterday I was listening to the Dr. Love episode and Austin pretty much implicated himself to say that he almost thought about being a con artist. So I was like, you know what, Daze, I think you're going to be okay.
He has been very open about a lot of things. And there's Love a him. Lot of edits that I've had to make.
He reminds me so much of my brother and my oldest son combined. And he just says what he wants and he's just precious.
He says what he wants and he means what he says. And he's just, God bless Austin. We love him dearly. Can't wait to have him back. But I really want to have you back too sometime.
Awesome. Thank you. Nice, I would so. Love to. Absolutely love to.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And if you're listening and you liked this episode, share it, review it, comment, do all the things. And thank you so much. Mama, mystery out.
Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.